This is Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. Today we do the third session of Memoir of Mary Lothrop. The full title of that book, Memoir of Mary Lothrop, who died in Boston March 18, 1831, aged 6 years and 3 months. That's the name of the book that a listener told me about. I'm so glad that that person did. By the way, if you have small children hanging around right now, not a whole lot to do, bring them over and sit them down for a few minutes, because I think this story will bless them as well as you. We're in chapter 3. Mrs. Lothrop, took great pains to teach her children that next to gratitude to God, they should be grateful to their father for the many comforts they enjoyed. She would tell them that when they saw him fatigued or depressed, they should think it was his love for them which led him into those cares and perplexities, that it was his desire to send them to school and to give them everything which could make them happy, and that they ought to be obedient and grateful and show their gratitude by being careful of everything he gave them. And it was cheering to a mother's heart to observe that while her other children needed line upon line and precept upon precept, such instruction to Mary was like a nail fastened in a sure place. She remembered it. And when she had a pair of new shoes or a new dress, she'd put them up carefully and say, "I'll take good care of these things so that Father will not have to buy me any more for a great while." When she saw that her father's mind was troubled, or her mother had told her he was fatigued, she would not unfrequently retire to pray for him, and has been overheard praying for him in the following manner: "O Lord, would thou bless my dear father and comfort him by making him think of his heavenly home and remember that when he gets there, he will not have to provide for his large family." She was particular to observe her mother's directions respecting neatness and order, folding her clothes with care, putting a book or toy in its place after it was used, and it troubled her greatly in her sickness to see anything soiled or out of place. Her mother found her, young as she was, an assistant in promoting order in the family, but more particularly useful in the happy influence she exerted over the minds of those around her. Early in the spring of 1830, Mary had another long and distressing illness, which proved to be an affection of the spine. One Sabbath morning, about the time she was taken sick, when she awoke, she reminded her sisters, as she often did, that it was the Sabbath day. Talked with them for some time and prayed with them. When they entered their mother's chamber, Mrs. L. at once perceived that something had affected them. And as Mary had been weeping, she inquired the cause. Mary answered, "I can't tell you, Mother. Sarah will tell you. I told her." Her sisters, being much affected, her mother again said, "Mary, my dear, tell me what is the matter." She replied, "Oh, Mother, I don't wish to live in this wicked world any longer. I want to go to heaven and be where God is. When I look up to heaven and I think that God is there, and the holy angels are there, and the blessed Savior is there, I can't live in this world and be a sinner any longer." Her father said, "My dear Mary, God has made this a beautiful world and given us everything pleasant." "I know it. But I want to be where God is." Her sickness came on gradually, but as long as she could bear it, she desired to be carried downstairs to be present at family worship. And she'd kneel through the time of prayer, even when others thought her unable to do it. One morning she called her mother to her bedside and said, I feel now as if God has given me a new heart." "What makes you think so?" said her mother. "My mother, because none but God can take sinful thoughts out of our minds and None but God can put good thoughts into our minds. How does it make you feel now that you think you have a new heart? Well, it makes me very happy. I love to pray. And when I begin, I want to keep praying all the time. It's easy to pray now. I'm very happy. She wished every day to have her mother read a chapter in the Bible and pray with her. These were her most delightful seasons, and she knew not how to have them delayed. One morning her mother was engaged when she asked her to read, and Mary said, "Well, Mother, when I get to my heavenly home, I won't have to wait." "No, no, my sweet Mary," said her mother. "Then, as the song says, no vain discourse shall fill our tongues, nor trifles vex the ear. Infinite grace shall be our song, and God delight to hear." "Yes, Mother," said Mary, "I long to be there. Then we can praise him all the time, and the blessed Savior will rejoice to hear us too. It makes me feel very happy." When she was suffering greatly, she would sometimes say, "I want to be patient and bear my pain. The blessed Savior suffered a great deal more than I do." At another time she said, "Oh, Mother, lift your thoughts to God for me, that he would ease my pain. But if he does not, I will try to bear it." One Sabbath after her sisters returned from meeting, she said to them, "Do not think that going to meeting and to Sabbath school and not doing anything else is keeping the Sabbath day holy. You must talk about what you have heard and read the Bible and pray. That will be keeping the day holy. I want that you should take my Bible and go into the other room alone and read a chapter and then kneel down and pray to God. Let me know that you do it, and God will hear you if you pray to him. Perhaps you'll say, 'How do you know that God will hear?' I know that he will, for he's given me a new heart. And I know he will hear you if you pray to him." She was so earnest and solemn in her request that her sisters wept. And taking her Bible, they did as she desired. On another Sabbath day in the afternoon, she said, "Mother, the Sabbath is almost gone, and we haven't had a meeting. Can we have one now?" Her mother read the 14th chapter of John, a chapter she loved to hear read often. And when the second and third verses were read, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When she heard that, she said, "I know what that means. The blessed Savior has prepared mansions in heaven for all that love him. That is, a place where we can be with him in heaven. And when it says the Savior is coming, that does not mean the day of judgment, does it? But when we die, the Savior will come for us to be where he is. Oh, how happy it makes me to think that we may be where he is. And I wish poor sinners to know that if they pray and repent, they too may be where the Savior is." She was very feeble, not able to sit up, but lying on the bed, folded her hands and prayed for herself, for the family, and for her minister. She then prayed that God would put it into the hearts of the neighbors to keep the Sabbath day holy. "And oh," she added, "may parents teach their little children to keep the Sabbath day holy." Mr. and Mrs. Lothrop were members of the Fourth Baptist Church in Boston, under the pastoral care of the Reverend Howard Malcolm. Mary was tenderly attached to her pastor, and although he was kindly attentive and visited her often, she repeatedly asked that he might be sent for, because she loved to hear him talk and pray. She often said, "I love Mr. M., and it makes me feel happy to have him visit me. I think it's very kind in him to walk so far to see a little girl like me." And she one day said, "Mother, will you send for Mr. Malcolm? I have something in mind I wish to say to him. I want to tell him that I must be baptized, and be one of those good Christians, meaning members of the church. Perhaps he'll tell me that I must wait till I am as large as you, but I can't wait. I must be baptized now because I don't think I shall live here much longer. And I wish to do all that God would have me do. Let's begin chapter 4. One day, Mary's brother, G, don't know his full name yet, bought her some toys, supposing she would be highly gratified. They were all placed before her, and she thanked him affectionately, but her mother noticed that she was not as much pleased as he had been expecting. After her brother left the room, she said, "Mother, I didn't want to tell brother because he thought I should be so much pleased, but toys do not seem to me as they used to. They cannot make me happy. I would rather have the money kept and put into the missionary box." Mary received many kind attentions from neighbors and friends, and would often pray for those who thus remembered her. One morning she received a present, and immediately inquired, as she often did, if the person who sent it was pious. The mother answered that she did not profess to be. Mary said, "Can't you tell me that she is pious, dear mother? Then I must pray for her. Will you raise me up and shut the door?" She then prayed that God would bless the person and put it into her heart to love him and repent, that she might go to heaven. She frequently prayed for the same individual and said, "I wish I could talk with her and pray with her. I don't think I should be afraid or ashamed to do so now. The hymn says, 'Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend? No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name.'" Mary would often express concern for the souls of others and would entreat different members of the family to seek the Lord. And this interest in serious things did not diminish as she began to be relieved from disease. She was much interested for a poor black man who was occasionally employed in doing errands for the family. Whenever she saw him from the window, she appeared to have an anxiety for him and would speak as if she feared he was not prepared for death. One day, when she was taken out to ride, she saw him, and in the night she said, "Mother, do send for poor Caesar to come here. God has put something into my mind to say to him." Her mother at first supposed she had been dreaming and said, "What made you think of him now?" Mary replied, "Well, I saw him today when I was riding." Next time she saw him in the street, she said, "Mother, there is Caesar. Do call him in. I must talk with him." Her mother called him in, not knowing what the dear child wished to say. When he came into the room, Mary thus addressed him, "Caesar, do you love God? Do you pray to him?" The old man appeared confused, as if he didn't know what to say. "If you do not, you must pray a great deal, and then God will let you know whether you're a Christian or not. Do you read the Bible?"
"I do," said Caesar.
"Have you got one of your own?"
"Yeah, I have a Bible."
"If you haven't, I'll give you mine. You know, we've all got to be sick and die and be laid in the grave, but God will raise these bodies again."
Oh, wonderful," said the old man, the tears beginning to drop from his aged face.
Mary continued, "You've got to be sick and suffer a great deal, and you don't know why you suffer so much here, but in the heavenly world, he'll let you know. Will you tell me, Caesar, that you'll love God and try to serve him?"
"I will, little Mary. I will try to."
The child was too much in earnest to stop and said, "God's made a glorious, happy world. God has prepared mansions where he's going to take all that love him down here below when they die. And, oh, God is there, and the blessed Savior is there, and I have a little sister there. And I want you should be a Christian, so that when you die, God may take you there to praise him with me in heaven."
The old man wept as he retired and said, "Goodbye, little Mary. You won't be here with us long. You'll be better off." After he went out, she prayed for him. Next morning, she said to her mother, "I haven't done all that God meant I should for poor Caesar. I wish, Mother, that you would send for him again, that I may pray with him. For if he should hear me pray, God might put a prayer into his heart." She discovered so much solicitude that her mother requested Caesar to come in again, but no particular time was appointed. And the next that Mary heard of the poor old man was that he was in eternity. He died of a short illness a few days after her conversation with him. Soon after this, Mrs. L. was obliged to be absent from home one afternoon. As soon as she returned, she inquired how Mary had been. "Very pleasant," was the answer. Hearing that a man had been playing upon an organ in the street, she asked if it amused Mary. Mary replied that she did not seem to care much about it. Well, we're going to stop right there and leave you hang for a little bit about this person playing the organ in the street. My. It's almost unreal, isn't it? But a documented story. We will continue reading, God willing, the next time. Please keep checking in from time to time here at Sermon Audio at the Hackberry House of Chosen website to see what's going on. And I hope the good things will be there. If I'm not on a particular day, if there's nothing there for that day, go back and browse through, will you? You will find many things, I do believe, that will bless your soul. Just browse through the different categories, and I'm sure there'll be something that will touch your heart. And God bless you. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.